Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So we've been in the middle of a series. Really, it's been on prayer and positioning with God, of speaking about spiritual warfare, about what God's called us to do as individuals. I've given you some secrets to pray, some secrets to effectively having your prayers answered. And we've actually been doing this for months now. It's been a few months that we've been on this topic. But this morning, I want to make it very practical. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some types of prayer that we see in the Bible, that when we come to God and we approach Him in prayer, just some basic ways to show you what certain words mean that you'd read in Scripture, why those words are there, what they represent, what they mean for you in your prayer life. So I'm going to really break it down into a very simple and easy to understand form this morning. And then we'll move on next week onto a brand new subject, which I'm excited for. Amen. All right. So today is different kinds of prayer. Just different kinds of prayer that we pray. Now please, this is not an exclusive list in any way. I'm just going to share with you basically from my own personal prayer life, what happens when I pray? How do I pray? And, you know, how do I see God respond? And what are some keys that really cause our prayers to be answered? The first thing this morning, I'm going to give you five keys today. The first key this morning is that when we pray, the way we approach God always, according to Scripture, is with praise and thanksgiving. So if you're taking notes, that's point number one. Praise and thanksgiving. When we come to the Father, we offer Him praise because of who He is. Can we say amen? I don't know about you, but I think He's awesome. I think God is worthy of our praise. I think He's worthy of our thanksgiving. So when I come before Him, it's just like a natural response. It's like before I even hardly open my mouth, thanksgiving and praise is coming out of it because I'm so thankful to God for what He's done. I just give Him praise because of who He is. The Bible says in Psalm 48, verse number 1, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in His holy mountain. It's amazing because you'll find in Scripture many times when it speaks of prayer, it speaks of His holy mountain. It speaks of gates into His presence. It speaks of a way into the very presence of God. Many people, when they pray and they come before the Lord, they come with their requests right away. God, I need money. Help me. God, I have a problem. You know, they come just like that. Now, I'm not saying that if you're having a serious emergency that you can't cry out to the Lord. Absolutely, you can. But I don't know about you, but I would rather be in a place where I know I have God's attention. I would rather be in a place where I'm already in the presence of the Lord. And when I'm praying, I know it's like He's right there with me. So the way into His presence, the way to get a response from Him is to enter in with praise. Praise is something that is vocal. So in other words, you can't really praise God, you know, by not making a sound. In order for us to praise Him, there must be a sound. Now, praise can be done with an instrument, but really, for most of us that are not musically, you know, inclined, we make a sound with our voices. So we give Him praise with a shout. We give Him praise with singing. We lift our voices and give Him thanksgiving. But it causes you to actually physically do something. In order for you to praise God when you come before Him in prayer, you normally enter in with praise. So to break it down and make it very, very practical, let me give you an example. Whenever I pray, I'll close my door, just like the Bible says. And what I'll do is I'll just start by giving Him thanks. I'll just say, Father, I thank You. I thank You that You brought me this far. I thank You that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I give You thanks, Father, that You're with me, that You never leave me nor forsake me. I thank You that You've provided for me. Father, I praise You for Your mercy and Your goodness. I praise You, Father, because You are great and greatly to be praised. That's how I start my prayer. And what I'll do is I'll continue to do that until I begin to experience God's presence. Now, let me show you, this is actually more practical than what you think. Colossians 4:2 says this, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. There's actually more to this than what meets the eye. In other words, thanksgiving is part of your prayer the whole time. While you're praying, and even when you get to the part where you begin to ask for things, thanksgiving always needs to be attached to that, because when you ask and you start thanking, that means you have faith. So faith is a major part of prayer. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. So we need to do that. Now let's take a look at the Old Testament and what happened when they began to praise God. In 2 Chronicles 5:13. Are you all okay? All right. God is good. Man, God is good. I tell you, He is good. 2 Chronicles 5:13. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. That's very important, worship team. Pay attention. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good and His mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud. You see, what happened was the musicians, they began to praise God. They began to sing about His goodness and His mercy. And as they began to do this, the place was filled with the cloud. What is the cloud? Listen, if the clouds are up in the sky, when they come into the room, that means they've come from a high place down to a low place. You need to understand that when you come before God in prayer and you want to have a response from heaven, you need Him to be present. The way that He comes down, He comes down by responding to our praise and our thanksgiving. Some people want God to hear them from afar. God, I need this. God, I want this. And listen, as I said earlier, it's not that He's not going to hear you. But how many of you know that when you have someone right next to you and the presence of God is in the room, it's like the conversation is a whole lot different to, "God, can you hear me?" Have you ever prayed and felt like God is far away and you're like kind of hoping that your prayer is going to reach heaven? I've felt like that. I've like been in my room and I'm like, man, this prayer's just got to get there. It's just got to get to the throne room. God, I want my prayer to be heard. Listen, rather begin to give Him thanks. Begin to give Him praise so that when you start asking, when you start praying, He's already in the room. He's already with you. Can you say amen? His presence fills the room when you open up with praise and thanksgiving. Now, remember, this is an incomplete list in the sense of I'm really showing you just some basic principles. I've already taught you about repentance. Repentance is always something that's part of our prayer life. When the Lord spoke about the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus taught on the Lord's Prayer, He also taught about repentance. But I'm not going into that today. We're going to keep it just real simple because we've got to get into some good stuff. Everybody say good stuff. I like good stuff. Amen. All right, let's go to point number two. You see, what happens is when we come into His presence, we begin to give thanks, we begin to praise, we begin to honor Him. Now His presence is in the room. And as soon as that happens, that's when we begin to have conversation. The first thing that most of us will do is we will begin to petition. That's why when you see the Bible speaks about asking, you'll see words like petition, supplications, intercession, always attached to prayer. So the first one we need to talk about this morning is, what is a petition? Well, a petition is a pretty straightforward thing. It's when you ask. It's when you come before God and you bring your requests to Him. 1 John 5:14 says this, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Did you hear that? He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked from Him. So in other words, when we come before God, if we know that He hears us, if we know we're praying His will, we need to know that He's going to answer our prayer, that He's going to hear our petitions, that He's going to do it. Now, let me give you a basic, straightforward example. I come before the Lord. Is it okay? Is it okay for me to do it like this? Just to give it like really straightforward, okay? I come before God. I begin to pray. I give Him thanks. I normally spend quite a bit of time repenting, lots to repent for always. Amen. and then what I do is I begin to petition. When I petition, I come before Him and I have certain things I petition for. I always petition first for my own family, for my wife and my children. And I'll generally pray for them as a whole. I'll pray, "Father, I pray for my family. I pray for protection. I pray that you keep us safe, Father, that you will make my children strong, Lord. I pray that you'll keep my wife safe, that you'll give them all good dreams, Father, every night. Even in the morning, I pray this. I pray, Father, I ask that you'll keep the enemy away from us, that your angels will surround." I'm petitioning. I'm asking. I'm asking God for certain things. That's what asking the Lord is. That's what petitioning is. Are you with me? So I begin to do that. That's how I do it. Then I'll move over. I'll move over to the church and I'll begin to pray for the church. I'll pray for my leaders. I pray for my staff. I pray for them. Then I begin to pray for the whole congregation. Then once I've petitioned for the congregation, I move on. I begin to pray for Vero Beach. Then once I've prayed for Vero Beach, I move on and I begin to pray for the nation. Then once I've finished praying for the nation, then I'll move into a whole different dimension. But I'm going to kind of give you the order. Then what I do is I begin to pray for the spiritual life that I have. I ask for God to give me more of His gifts. Desire, spiritual gifts. Desire is a very powerful word in the Greek. That means we need to go and ask for them. So I'll pray for the anointing. I'll pray for the gifts of the Spirit. I'll pray for more of His presence. I'll, if I haven't had an encounter with Him, if I feel like nothing's happening, you better believe that's when I beg. Is that okay? I love His presence, man. Listen, church services are wonderful. But when you're alone in your room and the presence of God fills the room, the Bible speaks about it like a fragrance. That the presence of God is like an aroma that comes. And it fills your room and everything, the atmosphere changes. It's the most beautiful, powerful thing. Can you say amen? Now, Mark 11:24 says this in the ESV version. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. You see, that's why thanksgiving is important, because what happens is we need to ask and believe at the same time. When we ask God, we believe that He'll answer us based on who He is, on His character, on His nature. Listen, if you're asking for a good thing for your household, that will help your household get closer to God, draw you more into His presence, fulfill the purpose and plan He has for you, do you not think He wants to answer you? When the children of Israel were standing in the front of the walls of Jericho, they marched around the walls of Jericho, and then when they did it, they shouted as if they already had the victory. Do you not think God wanted to break the walls down? He did, right? So it is with you. When you ask, also begin to give Him thanks. Have faith. Begin to believe that He hears your prayer. Amen? Amen. Now, the third key that I want to give you this morning is really tied in to petitions. It's supplication. Supplication. What is supplication? And what is the difference between petitioning and supplication? There is a few differing opinions on this, but the truth is that from what I've studied, and I've really gone as much as I can into it to find the best definition, what supplications is it's more of an urgent, deep request. It's kind of like when you're crying out for mercy. You know, there was that video that prayed that God hears your desperate prayers. Supplications is when you come before God in a more intense way for something more severe, something more intense. So let me break it down and make it practical again. Let's say I'm praying for my family. I'm bringing petitions before the Lord. Now there's something going on with my son that I've recognized that I can see the enemies attacking him in an area. What do I do if I want to really go after that thing? I begin to pray for him with supplication. I begin to bring it to the Lord in a more intense, fervent way. That's what supplication is. Amen. And you'll see they're always connected. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It's interesting that Paul chooses to connect the word perseverance to supplication here. In other words, he's saying, listen, when you're praying for the saints, when you're praying for the church, I want you to pray for them with supplication, with passion, and I don't want you to give up. I want you to do it with perseverance. Can you say amen? Listen, if you're a mother or a father and you have children, or you have something that you need to pray for urgently, you need to bring it before the Lord with some supplication, with some passion, with some zeal. Amen. 1 Timothy 2, verse number 1 says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. So we can see again, when he comes to speaking to us about practical prayer, he brings words in like supplications. So now, I'm praying for men. I'm praying for you guys, and I'm busy interceding. Now I see an issue. I see a problem. I begin to lift it up with supplications. I begin to cry out to God. What can happen is you can move from supplication to the next level, which is intercession. Point number four this morning is intercession. What is intercession? Intercession is no longer just praying fervently for something, but now I'm going to actually stand in the gap. I'm going to actually now go into the gap and begin to pray for someone and begin to intercede for someone very fervently. It's like basically what I've done is I've now taken the place. I've stepped in the gap. Let me give you an example. Let's use my son again. Okay, my son's 4 years old. I've recognized something that the enemy is trying to do to my son. I'm praying with petitions. I'm bringing it before the Lord. In my heart, I feel I need to continue to pray. So now I begin to pray for it with some more passion, supplication. Now I've made a decision. God shows me this is something that you need to go after every single day for the next month. I want you to pray every day. So now it goes from supplication to intercession. And so what happens is now I begin to intercede. So let's say I can see the enemy's doing this thing to my child. Every morning I wake up, I pray. Now I'm going to go into intercession and I'm going to begin to pray. I'm going to pray God's will over my son. I'm going to come against the enemy, what he's trying to do. I'm going to hit that thing in the spirit every single morning until it breaks. Until it breaks. Until it breaks. Listen, the Bible says, if you raise your child in the ways of the Lord, they will not depart from it. That's a scripture that you have that you can hold on to. Well, you know, the devil still has my child. Well, guess what? Maybe it's time for some intercession. Well, Pastor, I've been doing it for 20 years. Keep on praying. Keep on fighting. Keep on going. Don't give up. Keep on praying. That's intercession. An intercessor is someone who doesn't give up. Someone that's willing to stand in the gap. Listen. In the Bible, there are many intercessors that are good examples. And you will see that sometimes they put themselves at risk when they come before the Lord on behalf of someone that they're crying out for. Moses is an amazing example of an intercessor, someone that stands in the gap. Let's go to Exodus 32, verse 7. I love this piece of scripture. Basically, what you see here is Moses is on the mountain with the Lord. And the children of Israel begin to misbehave and build a golden calf. And you'll notice the language is amazing because every time God is mad with the children of Israel, he calls them Moses' people. And every time he's happy with the children of Israel, he calls them my people. And Moses is quite happy as well to shift the blame and say, God, they're your people. God says, no, they're your people. And that's how they go back and forth. Guys, I want you to know, that's how you can talk to God. He's a father. He's amazing and he's relational. And he wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And it's so powerful. You just have to desire it, right? You have to desire it. So let's take a look at it. Exodus 32, verse 7. And the Lord said to Moses, go get down. For your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and scattered to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let them alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make a great nation. And I will make of you a great nation. Listen, at that point, if it's me and God, and he's talking about all of you, I'll say, Lord, smite them all. Smite them all. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, I'm just kidding. Okay, that's the old man. Moses, now imagine what he must have thought. He must have been like, that's not a bad idea, you know. But instead, what he does is he takes the role of an intercessor. And I want you to look at how he speaks to the Father. on behalf of the children of Israel and the language, and even after some of the principles I've taught you over the last few months, take a look at this because it's so powerful. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord God. I want to stop there. You see, he doesn't just speak to God. Now he's coming before God and he's pleading. In other words, he's passionate about it. He's intense about it. And he's showing God his sincerity in it. So already the posture is something unbelievable. And the Lord said, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm of your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from harm, which he said he would do to his people. I want you to see Moses stands in the gap as an intercessor. And what he does is he brings the Lord's word to him and reminds him of the promises he's made. And then he's so smart, man, I tell you. He tells him, listen, what is Pharaoh going to say, God? You know, Pharaoh's going to say, look, you took them and then you killed them. You know, what kind of a God is that? You know, and he comes before God and he speaks to God in this beautiful way. There's this incredible relationship that you can see the two of them have. But the smart thing that he does is he begins to remind God of his promises. That's why the promises of God are yes and amen, the Bible says. That's why when you're an intercessor and you're standing in the gap on behalf of a person, a family member, on behalf of a city or a nation, you can bring the promises of God before him and he hears you and he answers you. That's what intercession is. So we know that when we pray, we come before him with thanksgiving and praise. There may be some repentance and stuff like that that we do as well. Grief, we ask for forgiveness for grieving the Holy Spirit, whatever it is. Then we begin to petition. We pray with prayers and petitions and supplications, and we have this going back and forth, and we give thanks to God. And as we ask for things, we give him thanks as though we already have it, as though we've already received it. And we continue to have this prayer time. And before you know it, you've interceded a little bit. And then, now what? How many of you have said, right, from today, I'm going to start praying for half an hour? Don't lift your hands, okay? Half an hour is a long time, right? Half an hour. So you put your music on, or I'm just giving you my example because that's what I do. I put my music on. I walk around when I pray and I begin to pray. You know, if you're like the psalmists, they give praise and thanksgiving. A whole psalm is like 45 seconds long when you read it. And there's a whole lot of praise and thanksgiving in that 45 seconds. You begin to repent a little bit. Once you've done that, you begin to cry out for your family, your church, the different things that you need to. You know, about 5.5 minutes have passed now, and you're still praying, and you're thinking, man, that feels like about 30, 25 minutes. I must be almost over. You kind of just glance with the one eye open at the clock, and you realize that it's only 5 minutes. And now you've still got 25 minutes to pray. Because you made a decision that today you were going to spend half an hour with God. You know, you've heard about these guys that pray like 4 hours. You know, how is it that you can't even pray for half an hour, right? I've been there. I'm telling you this is the truth. So what do we do? What do we do when we get stuck and we don't know what to pray for? What do we do when we don't have an answer, when a crisis hits us and we go into our prayer room and you begin to cry out to God and you can feel like there's more, but you just don't know what it is? Like you just don't know what to say. You just don't know what to pray, but you need to pray, but you're praying and you don't have anything left, right? Have you ever been there? Well, I want you to know that the Bible teaches us that there is a way to pray. There is another way to pray. Now watch this because it's so powerful. The fifth key this morning is to pray in the Holy Spirit. To pray in the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Romans 8:25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What is our weakness? Take a look. Our weakness is we don't know what to pray for, right? We don't know how to pray anymore. We've run out of things to say. So what does God do? God takes His Holy Spirit that's now on the inside of you, and He begins to pray. And how do you hear the Holy Spirit pray? You don't. But He prays with you, and you begin to pray. Now watch this. What happens when you pray with the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Spirit? Let's take a look. Let's go to Jude verse number 20. Jude verse number 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So we pray in the Holy Spirit. And what happens when we pray in the Holy Spirit? We build ourselves up. The word building there in the Greek is the word oikodimo. Oikodimo. My dad is busy watching and he's not happy with me right now pronouncing that like that. But basically what it means is it means to build upon, to build up, or to edify. Who is it edifying? It is edifying you. It is edifying you. Why? Because you don't know what to pray for. You don't know what God has planned for you. You don't know what's just around the corner, but He knows what's just around the corner. You don't have the answers, but He has the answers. So you pray in the Holy Spirit. Listen, what I'm sharing with you now is the truth. This is God's word. I want you to hold on, okay? Everybody hold on tight, okay? Because many of you are going to get a big shock right now. But you have to know the truth, because the truth will set you free. Is that okay? So we understand that when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we are building ourselves up. God's busy helping us. He's working with us. Go to 1 Corinthians 14:14. Let's just read the first part. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. How do you pray in the Spirit? It's very quiet in Vero Beach this morning. The only place in the Bible that tells us how to pray in the Spirit is here. And it tells us right here that the way to pray in the Spirit is by praying in a tongue. Okay, now watch. Because it tells us that when we pray in tongues, or when we pray in the Spirit, our understanding is unfruitful. What does that mean? That means that when you pray in the Spirit, or you pray in tongues, you don't have a clue what you are saying. Are you with me? Look at it again. I want you to read it and see it, because it's there. You can look in any translation. It's pretty much the same. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. But my understanding, my mind, is unfruitful. Can you say amen? So when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in other tongues, what's happening is we are praying to God, okay? But our mind doesn't understand it. Let me show you what I mean. Let's go to let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 2. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 2. So if my mind doesn't understand, why would I pray in tongues? Why would I do this? The Bible says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So what is the purpose of praying in tongues? To speak to others or to speak to God? So when I pray in tongues, when I pray in the Spirit, I don't speak to men, I speak to God, right? I also have learned that when I pray in tongues, my understanding is unfruitful. What does that mean? That means I don't know what I'm saying. So I don't know what I'm saying, and neither does anybody else. But the Bible says to men, it says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Now look at this. For some people that are there that can know certain languages will understand. What does it say? It says, no one will understand. So how many people in the room will understand if I speak in tongues? Say it again. No one. No one understands. When I pray in the Spirit, when I pray in tongues, the reason I'm doing it is not for anybody else. It's so that I can pray in the Spirit to build myself up. The purpose of it is between me and God, not anybody else. Are you with me? So when I don't know what to pray for, what do? I speak to God. How do I speak to Him? In the Spirit. What does He do? He builds me up. He knows what I need. He knows my problems. He knows my future. He knows my destiny. So He begins to speak through me. Now watch. Are you all okay in Vera Beach this morning? Amen. Now, let's go to verse number 3. We're going to skip that. We're going to come back to verse number 2 in just a moment. Go to verse number 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. You see, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is busy teaching the church about how to conduct a church service with the gifts of the Spirit. And he's teaching them that prophecy is actually for the purpose of edification to the church. But tongues is actually something that edifies you. That's why he says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Next verse. But he who speaks in a tongue edifies who? What's the purpose of tongues? To edify you. Now let me ask you a question. If the Bible says that if it's for me and my understanding is unfruitful and no one else understands it, if it's to edify me, does there need to be interpretation? Say it again. No. When does there need to be interpretation? If I stand up in the church while we're singing hallelujah, and I begin to make a sound in tongues and it interrupts the whole service, who's being edified? So what good is it for the church service? Unless there's interpretation. If I'd got up and there's no interpretation, I'm not the devil. I was just edifying myself and not using wisdom. Are you with me? Now, if you come to the first encounter service, I'm going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit and tongues and interpretation and show you that the gifts of the Spirit are for the purpose of edifying the church. But here we're talking about something different. We're talking about the way that God has given you an ability. He's given you the gift of the Holy Spirit so that you can speak in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. He actually goes on and he says, what is the conclusion then? We will speak in the Spirit. We will pray in the Spirit. We'll speak in our language. We'll pray in our language. That's the conclusion. In other words, these are all good things and he wants us to all do it, right? So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Did you see it? We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 14 for me, verse number 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. What does that mean? A mystery is something that was previously hidden. It is a secret. You see, there are secrets and mysteries, listen to me now, about you. Did you know that? There are things that you don't know about yourself. And God wants you to know what they are. But unfortunately, you have a problem. The problem is not inside. The problem is on top. You cannot comprehend the things that God has prepared for you long before you were even born. I'll prove this to you in just a moment. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 that when we speak in tongues, We speak the mysteries of God. Go back to 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 7. But we speak the wisdom of God, how? In a mystery. So when we speak in tongues, we speak mysteries. What mysteries? There's some wisdom that will be released to you when you begin to pray the mysteries of God. Let's take it a little further. Okay, stay right there. The hidden wisdom, stuff that you don't know about, which God ordained before the ages, for what? For our glory. Remember, when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. You build up yourself. When you speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, when you're praying in the Spirit, you begin to speak the things which God ordained for you before. For what? For your glory. What does the word glory there mean? It's the word doxa, which also speaks of reputation. The things that God has already prepared for you. Go to the next verse. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Stay there. What are we speaking about here? We're speaking about the enemy. The rulers of this age speaks of the enemy. Demonic forces. Remember, the battle's not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, spiritual hosts of wickedness, rulers of the darkness of this age. It speaks of spiritual powers. Now you must understand, when they killed Jesus on the cross, the devil, he thought he had won the battle. But Jesus rose again from the grave. And then he did something remarkable. He gave you and I his Spirit. Which means that he's still very much alive and on the earth right now. So if the devil had known that all that would happen is there would be a lot of little Christians on the earth, he would never have done what he did. Because you see, there's much, much more to you than meets the eye. Next verse. But it is written, take a look. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. What? The things which God has prepared for them, for those who love Him. Next verse. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Stop there. I want you to see there are things that God has prepared for you that your natural mind cannot comprehend, so He had to do it a spiritual way. The way that He did it was He created it like this, that you would be able to receive the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes inside you, there would be an event that would take place perhaps at your conversion, but many people, it doesn't happen at their conversion. You see, John the Baptist said this. He said, there is one coming after me whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That is not water baptism, guys. There is an empowering of the Spirit that must come upon every believer. Now look at it. It's so powerful because what Jesus did was when he encountered his disciples the first time, after he rose from the grave, he appeared to them. And the Bible says that he blew on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. They already had the Holy Spirit, right? And before he went up to be with the Father, after he'd spent some time with them, after he'd already given them the Holy Spirit, he said to them, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from upon high. He also said to them, wait for the promise of the Father that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You see, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, what happened? They spoke in what? Oh. Every single encounter in the book of Acts, you see the Holy Spirit coming upon them, them being filled with the Spirit. When Philip goes into Samaria, he begins to cast out demons. He begins to do the work of the Lord. People get saved. There's great joy in the city. People get healed. The first thing the apostles do is they go back to Samaria, Peter and John, to go and see what's taken place. And the Bible says that they laid their hands on them so that they could receive the Holy Spirit, but they were already saved. Then you see Cornelius' house. The time Gentiles When the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit, Peter's busy preaching, teaching them. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit fell on them and they began to speak with tongues. When Paul goes and he goes to Ephesus, and Apollos was there. And Apollos used to teach them about the baptism of repentance, John's baptism. And when he gets there, he says that he lays his hands on them so they can all receive the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with tongues and prophesy. Listen, time after time, through the book of Acts, our example of what the church is supposed to look like, you see them speak in tongues. Why? Because the Lord wants you to speak in the Spirit. He wants you to pray in the Spirit, because there's going to be a lot of times where you're just not going to know what you're supposed to pray. That's why he says, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Next verse. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, right? Next verse. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Guess what? When you begin to pray in the Spirit, you begin to pray the mysteries of God. You begin to pray the secrets of God. And while you're busy doing that, the things that your natural man and natural eyes can't comprehend, you all of a sudden begin to see. You all of a sudden begin to hear. One of the deepest desires of 90% of Christians is, why am I here? Well, guess what? The way to find out is to pray in tongues. Did you know that? Isn't that amazing? God wants us to connect with Him. I remember when I was in Bible school. Just started Bible school. I was so hungry for the things of God. When I used to pray, I used to watch my pastor. Man, the guy used to just be so on fire for God. And God would use him so powerfully. And I just wanted it so badly. Just wanted it so bad. And I remember he always used to share with us that his secret was that he used to pray in the Spirit a lot, pray in tongues a lot. And so I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try it. I'm going to do it. I could pray in tongues. I'd been prayed for. The first time I prayed in tongues, by the way, the next morning I woke up and the devil was trying to tell me that I made it up. But I thought, you know what? I'm not going to listen. Pastor Harold, man, the guy's on fire. There's miracles when he prays. He prophesies. Listen, I know his prophecies are true. Here I am. Okay? When I was 19 years old, he told me I would be here. And here I am. And it came through revelation that he received from the Holy Spirit. Okay? I remember. And so I would go into my room. And I would close the door. And praying for half an hour was a little difficult at first. But then as I began to pray in the Spirit, I would give him thanks in English. And then I would pray in the Spirit. And then I would pray in the Spirit. I could give thanks between praying in English and the Spirit for up to an hour sometimes. And then only did I begin to petition. Now, listen, it's not easy to do that all the time, right? But it's kind of like weightlifting. It's really hard in the beginning, but after a while it becomes easier. That's how prayer is. Prayer, as you begin to do more of it, the easier it becomes. But here's what happened, guys. I will never forget, I used to think to myself, is something really happening? And I had a major encounter one night before I went to youth. But about a month or so later, after that experience, I was praying in my room, praying in the Spirit, asking God to reveal Himself to me, to show me things. Lord, give me a vision. I wanted to hear His voice. I'm praying. I'm asking. I'm basically just pleading with Him. And suddenly I have a vision. I see myself in the Bible school. And I'm sitting on the corner at the Bible school. And I've been in the school now for a few months and never seen this happen before. But in my vision, I saw Pastor Stephen, who was the dean of the school, laying hands on all the students. And I thought to myself, man, that's my imagination. I better get to class. Got up, went to class. When I arrived at the school, they said, listen, everyone needs to go to the sanctuary. Now, I'd forgotten about my vision. So we went to the sanctuary and I sat in the corner over there where I normally did when I was in the youth. And I sat there in the corner and I remember looking up while I was praying. And as I looked up, exactly what I saw in that vision, I saw in front of me. exactly what God had showed me in that vision. I saw Pastor Stephen laying hands. And at that moment, God reminded me of the vision that he had shown me. You see, your eyes cannot see and your ears cannot hear. But your spiritual man already knows everything about you. And when the Holy Spirit and your spirit man connect, he's praying and you begin to pray. And as you begin to pray in tongues, listen, your mind ain't gonna understand. God knew that when you would pray, you would think about your cheeseburger at lunchtime. He knew that when you pray, you're going to think about fishing tomorrow afternoon. He knew that you would start worrying about your stuff and start thinking about your stuff. But he wants to connect with you spirit to spirit. You see, he is a spirit. And the Bible says that we should worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's why when we worship and we pray and we sing in the spirit. We sing in our own language. We worship in our own language. We worship in the spirit. But we don't have to do it in a way that it's interrupting. Because otherwise, there's no benefit to anybody else. That's why we've gotten it wrong before, where we make a big racket in the tongues and the poor guy sits in the church, he has no clue what you're doing. Come to the e-course in January and I'll show you what happens in a church service. Word for word, I'll take it from Corinthians 14 and show you. But it's important that you know, listen to me. Praying in the Spirit, it's not a requirement for salvation. Did you hear me? If you don't pray in tongues, you're still going to heaven. Amen? But there's more. And it's interesting because if you continue to read that out of 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, you will see he goes on and he starts talking to them and saying to them, listen, it's time for me to give you some meat. But you don't get it because your spiritual man is still a baby. Are you with me, guys? I have seen. This is the honest truth. You can ask any of my staff or my leaders that have been here a long time. When I lay hands on people to receive the Holy Spirit, their lives change forever. I have seen more people turn from drug addiction, from abuse, from all kinds of things. Stuff happen in their lives when they receive the Holy Spirit like never before. Why? Because when you do it, it's like your spiritual eyes open. That's what happens. And it's powerful, guys. The Bible says that if you ask for the Holy Spirit, guess what he's going to give you? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says, you being a wicked father, would you give, if your son asked for something, would you give him a snake? Would you give him a stone? No. Likewise, your father, if you ask, will give you the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. He says, I'm going to send another helper. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He will lead you. And many of you sitting here, you don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. You've been in church for many, many years. And I want you to know there's more for you. I know you love God. I know you do your best. You serve God. And that's wonderful. And you can continue to do that and you'll be okay. But I want you to know that there's so much more. This was important in the book of Acts. Why has the church neglected it? I'll tell you why. Because it's uncomfortable. Because it requires you to switch your mind off. When I pray for people to receive tongues, they always say this to me. Nothing's coming. Of course it's not coming. Your mind ain't going to get it. It's not going to come from here. It comes from here. The Bible says this, that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. In other words, when you get prayed for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, you will feel the presence of God. You need to know that he's already done it. All that needs to happen is you now need to step out in faith. Let me ask you a question. How do you know that you are saved? How do you know? You believe, you have faith. Well, guess what? If he says in his word that this is for you, it must be for you. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 8. It's verse number 8? Better be verse number 8. Not that one. Okay, try verse number 5. 18. No, that's the one. Yes, 18. Good job. I want you to see what Paul says. Take a look at this. He makes this statement. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. What does God do when we pray in tongues? He reveals His mysteries and His wisdom to us. The person that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament makes a statement like that. Maybe we should pay attention. There are things your natural mind cannot comprehend, cannot understand. But when Paul is explaining and going back and forth, he wanted desperately for us not to get confused. Unfortunately, the church has confused it. They've made something really easy to understand, very complicated, because it's supernatural. But I thank God that Paul said that. Because when somebody like that says something like that, I think we should pay attention. He also says this, I wish you all spoke with tongues. And then he says, but even more that you prophesy. Why? Because you see, tongues is for you. Prophecy is for the church, so that there's edification. And then he goes on and says, and accept that you can interpret. Why? Because then your tongues actually mean something for the church. That's now the gift of tongues, you see. But your tongues is for you. Something that he gave you so that when you're in a crisis, you just can begin to pray and you don't know what to pray. And suddenly the presence of God comes. The Holy Spirit's praying. He knows exactly what's around the corner. He knows exactly what you've been through. And you begin to pray and he answers you. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for God. I'm so thankful to Him that He made a way that I can actually pray for more than 10 minutes. I can do it. Amen. I've prayed in tongues once. I'll never forget it, before a youth service. Powerful youth service. A girl got delivered that night. It was a powerful in the old church we were helped plant. And I was busy praying in tongues. I was praying. And that's why I know the sound that comes out of your mouth means nothing. It really doesn't. We get so caught up on that. I remember stopping to pray and I couldn't stop. There was no more sound, but the tongues, the air, the movement that was coming from my inner man wouldn't stop. It was just pouring out of me. It's like I couldn't stop, but my tongue stopped praying. But it was like, it was just coming. It was so powerful, and I was so in the presence, and I had a vision of what would happen in youth that night about a young lady. And we went to youth, and anyway, long story. See, it's not about, well, Pastor Alex, I don't know what to say. You don't have to worry about that. It's not about what you say in the natural. It's about what's taking place in the supernatural. Are you with me, guys? All right. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. I went through the first four as quick as I could because I knew we'd spend some time on the last one. Father, you are so good. In fact, Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised. I thank you that you've made a way for us, Lord, that even in our weakness, you pray through us. You have given us a way, Father, where we can speak the mysteries of God concerning our lives. The hidden things, Father, the enemy, if he knew what would happen, the Bible says that he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Can you imagine? I can imagine, Father, that this is something he desperately doesn't want a Christian to tap into. Because as they begin to pray in the Spirit, they begin to pray the secrets and mysteries of God. Because yes, Lord, even we have a purpose. Even we, there's a plan for us. That's why your word says that it's the hidden things that have been prepared for us from even before we were born. There is no one in this room that's a mistake. Not one of you is here by mistake this morning. Father, I thank you for the anointing. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. And I pray for every precious person under the sound of my voice. I silence every demonic force right now in Jesus' name. And I pray, Lord, that you would just touch the hearts of every single person in this place. Lord, we want to know you more. Father, if Paul the Apostle said, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all, Lord, let that be my prayer. Let me echo that prayer, Father, one day be able to say, I prayed in the Spirit so much, Father, and revelation and wisdom and knowledge came to me because I spent time seeking after you when I didn't even know what to pray. So I give you thanks. All the glory and honor this morning in this place.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.